RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. Good to be back after the last Sunday off because of the Easter holiday. Hope you had a great one. I sure did with my family. But good to be back on the air and great to be talking about racing, and even greater to have been at a racetrack yesterday. How awesome was it if you had a chance to go to your local short track this weekend and just be back among your friends with the noise, the smell, the senses of being at the races. Nothing beats that, and it was great yesterday for me at Lancaster Speedway season opener yesterday. Great turnout of cars, over 70 cars in the pits, and a great afternoon of racing. I know Merrittville got their season opener, a couple other tracks too. I know some tracks, though, had issues with the weather because of all the rain that fell Thursday and Friday, but just great to be back watching racing and me personally announcing racing too. Just fantastic. And if you were at a race this weekend, I'd love to hear from you. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Just your story on going back to the track here in 2017 and getting a chance to be back at the races. If you were getting to your local track for the first time this season, I'd love to hear from you this morning at 803-0551. 888-550-2550. You can also send us a tweet. We're on Twitter at FastTrack550 and Facebook too, facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. Coming up on today's program, besides your phone calls, those are most important. We'd love to hear from you. But coming up at quarter past, we're going to head out to Thunder Valley, the Bristol Motor Speedway, where, weather permitting, we're going to have a NASCAR race today at the Bristol Motor Speedway, the Food City 500, and you can catch the race right here on WGR today. Coverage is going to start at 1 o'clock, courtesy of our friends at the Performance Racing Network. And speaking of PRN, our guest at 11:15 is none other than Doug Rice, the man there at PRN. Doug will join us this morning, give us a weather update, unfortunately, but we'll check in with him and talk about the racing action this weekend at Bristol regardless. And actually, I won't be surprised by the time we get off the air at 12 noon this afternoon that we may know if this race is even going to happen today, because it has been a deluge out there at Bristol already this morning, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better throughout the day. Even with the lights at Bristol, apparently they might not get the race in today, and we might be talking about some Monday afternoon racing at Bristol. But stay tuned. If that announcement comes while we're on the air, we will pass it along. If not, you will find out more at 1 o'clock when we pick up the coverage from the Performance Racing Network. Also on today's program, coming up at the bottom of the hour, as I said, the local racing season now getting into full swing here in the area. And we continue our local racing season preview with Jen Martin from the Ransomville Speedway, the dirt track up in Niagara County, and Jen is the new general manager for 2017. So we'll talk to Jen. A lot of exciting things happening at the Big R under the ownership of the Atwell family, their second year at the helm of that legendary dirt oval. A big event coming back to the Big R this season, and more facility upgrades too. So we'll talk to Jen Martin at about 11:35 here this morning on the program and get a season preview for what's happening at the Ransomville Speedway. But again, phone lines are open here right off the bat, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. And again, I would love to hear from you this morning if you had a chance to get to your favorite local racetrack this weekend, because nothing beats being at the races. And I think that is the best way to experience this sport. For as much as we talk about television and ratings or a lack thereof with the national motorsports scene, nothing beats going in person. And I think if you take someone to the races, it makes a fan out of them. Even if they've never been to a race, never watched a race before on TV, I think just taking them and letting them experience it in person is the best way to make a race fan, whether it's taking them to a NASCAR race or an IndyCar race or an NHRA national event, or just taking them to your local short track and letting them experience firsthand and seeing their local heroes do battle on the racetrack. So as we get kick off this 2017 local racing season again, we'll just... You know, want to chat, get your experiences, what you like about going to the local races, and what you had a chance to see this weekend. Of course, with the Bristol race and the challenge that has been the Bristol Motor Speedway for race fans over the last, I don't know, how long has this been going on now? Maybe we're close to a decade. I'm not sure. I've lost count, but this... ever-changing racing surface at the Bristol Motor Speedway. When they put in new concrete and they put in progressive banking, it really changed the dynamics of the Bristol Motor Speedway. And no longer like you had in the 80s and 90s there when they made the switch from asphalt to concrete there at Bristol, where everybody just lined up on the bottom and it was one big conveyor belt of race cars or one big conga line of race cars that just ran around the bottom of that Bristol Motor Speedway for 500 laps. And the only way you were going to pass somebody is if you were going to give them the boot to the back bumper to move them out of your way, because it was a one-lane racetrack down on the bottom. And it made for many memorable moments throughout the years and all the crashes that happened because of that style of racing, which made it such a fan favorite, which made it why they had a waiting list for tickets for the night race for a number of years. That style of racing that was so popular, fans, that went away when they resurfaced Bristol and made changes, and the preferred racing line at Bristol went from the bottom of the speedway to the top of the speedway, up along the outside wall, because that's where they drivers found the speed with the way the banking had been reshaped, that everybody ran up along the outside wall. And no longer was the Bristol bump and rud the preferred method of passing cars at Bristol, and you saw fewer crashes, and it really set Bristol back. You could kind of get the kind of like a dirt track-esque slide job to pass a guy where you kind of barrel in there, dive it down to the bottom, and then kind of sweep up in front of them in the corner. That might be your best option of passing, but it became a one-lane... It remained a one-lane racetrack for the most part, but it was up along the wall, and that made it a even more of a challenge to pass cars, and it was a lot harder to use that front bumper to make a pass. And that quickly, or not quickly, but over this last decade or so, on top of all the other challenges NASCAR has had with filling racetracks throughout the circuit, even Bristol fell victim to this trend, whether it was the economy collapse in the 2008 or whatnot, other factors that went into it. The on-track product at Bristol Motor Speedway definitely led to a decrease in ticket sales, and no longer do you need to sit on a waiting list to get tickets for the night race. You could walk up on race day and buy those tickets. What used to be the hottest ticket in the sport no longer wasn't so hot. And a lot of fans said they missed the days of Dale Earnhardt rattling the cage of Terry Labonte, or all the other great battles they had throughout the 80s and 90s with Darrell Waltrip and Ricky Rudd and Dale Earnhardt, Terry Labonte, all those great battles, Rusty Wallace, that those guys had back in the day. And it really affected ticket sales. So Bruton Smith and the folks at Speedway Motorsports, SMI, they took notice, and they've been trying to correct that for the last couple of years. They ground down the top end of the speedway to take out some of that banking on the outside groove. That sort of helped, but still the outside line was the place to go. The newest trick for them that we saw last year and into this year was the fact that they started laying down a traction compound, VHT is the technical name for it, and apply that to the bottom, dragging tires across it to build up the rubber on that bottom line. And apparently that has done the trick, because we saw yesterday in the Xfinity Series race, and we'll talk more about this with Doug Rice in just a couple of minutes, that it's back to the way it was, apparently, because the bottom lane is the fast way around Bristol. The preferred lane is everybody's lining up on the bottom. However, it's not completely out of the realm for a guy to use the outside. You saw a little bit of that on the Xfinity race yesterday. Guys like Kyle Larson, who love running that outside lane, they're trying to go back up there and use it outside lane. So there is the possibility of a two-groove racetrack, which I think will improve the product, because I'm not a fan of just bumping a guy out of the way to make the pass. It makes for exciting moments. It makes for drama. But does it make for a good race overall? I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, you get drama, which is what NASCAR fans crave. But for me, from how I view the sport, it doesn't do much for me. So the outside line is a possibility, although with all the rain that's going to wash everything off the track, you know, who knows if the outside line is going to be viable for the cup race. But the other good thing about this, though, the fact that the groove is back on the bottom and they've applied this VHT and this traction compound, the drivers don't like it. And it seems like whenever the drivers don't like the track conditions, that always makes for an exciting race as well. After the Cup cars had their practice session on Friday, you saw a couple drivers take to Twitter, most noticeably points leader Kyle Larson, and said, "What the heck's going on? What have they done to this place? I don't like this." So that could make for a more exciting race if and when we get this race in, whether it's today or tomorrow afternoon. It could be quite a handful for some drivers, and patience might be at a minimum when we get going at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Throw into that, this is the first Bristol race with the stage format. We saw at Martinsville in Texas, we've seen points, stage points come into play for strategy. We saw Ryan Blaney stay out to win a stage instead of going to the pits, which got him a stage win and a playoff point, but in the end cost him an overall race win and a max amount of playoff points he could have earned by going with a long-term strategy to win the race versus a short-term strategy. You know, I think that's going to definitely come into play. Your stages are 125 laps, 125 laps, and then 250 laps for the Bristol race. So we'll see how much, if that continues to be in effect, because it seems like every week that becomes more and more of part of the storyline, is the stages and guys choosing to stay out versus guys coming down pit road. Are you thinking for the end of the race, or are you thinking for the end of the stage? It depends how desperate you are for points, I guess. You see it a lot in the Xfinity series already. You see Xfinity regulars, they're more willing to stay out at the end of a stage to earn points because they're running for a championship, whereas the cup guy that comes down to run the Xfinity race, or maybe it's a truck driver that's moved up for a race to run the Xfinity race, they're more likely to come down pit road because they're thinking about going for the win at the end of the day because they don't need the stage points. They don't need playoff points with a stage win. So they're looking at a long term, whereas someone like a Daniel Hemric that runs regularly in the Xfinity race, and he won the Dash for Cash portion of the race yesterday, didn't win the overall race, but those guys are more likely to stay out so they could earn more playoff points and earn those stage points to help them in the overall season championship. So I think that is going to be a huge thing weighing on the minds of crew chiefs today at Bristol, or tomorrow at Bristol, whenever get going green at the Bristol Motor Speedway this afternoon for today's race, the Food City 500, which you'll hear right here on WGR. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 if you'd like to chime in this morning. Well, joining us right now on the AT&T hotline is one of the voices you'll hear on today's broadcast of the Bristol race live on WGR starting at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Doug Rice from the Performance Racing Network is on the line. Doug, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, Dave. Good morning from a very soggy Bristol Motor Speedway.
That is not good news on a race day. It has been a pretty rough weekend in Thunder Valley, it appears, Doug, and today is not looking good, unfortunately, to get the race in, it sounds like.
No, I'll be honest. I will be very, very surprised if we race today. It has been raining since last night, and the entire state of Tennessee on the weather radar is green.
So I should be telling our board op that we might be going back to alternate programming this afternoon on WGR.
the worst plan. Yeah, because, I mean, it looks like we're going to be socked in. I will be shocked if we get any racing in here today. And that's a disappointment, especially for the fans, because, you know, they invest a lot of time and money, and this is going to hurt them.
Yeah, no one ever wins when a race has to be postponed or delayed. Well, besides the weather, the other big topic this weekend, Doug, of course, has been the racetrack and the work that the folks at the Bristol Motor Speedway have done to the racing surface, putting down that VHT, traction compound, whatever you want to call it, on the lower lane. And it has certainly changed things dramatically and given the Bristol Motor Speedway kind of an old-school feel where that bottom lane is the preferred groove.
Dave, I thought the racing yesterday, even though it's kind of in fits and starts in the Xfinity race, was excellent. I enjoyed watching it. The bottom was the preferred, but if you had to go up in the top groove, you could make that work too. And that, you know, and you saw people doing the old Bristol bump and run yesterday. First time we've seen that in a long time.
Yeah, and that it sounds like that's what fans have been clamoring for. You know, they changed the banking and they put that progressive banking in where the top lane was the only lane around the racetrack. And obviously, a two-groove racetrack is the best way to go. And you're right, we saw that pass for the lead Eric Jones made, and that was kind of classic Bristol, where he just bumped Ryan out of the way and was able to make that big pass for the win.
Yeah, and you know, Ryan fully admitted, hey, I would have done the same thing, you know, because there's only one way to get around. That's all you got. But I like the feel for it. I think this is going to be, whenever we do get to race, I think it'll be a fun race. They'll probably put some more of the compound down to replace what gets washed off by this rain.
Indeed. Doug Rice joining us from the Performance Racing Network. Speaking of Ryan Blaney, he is off to a great start in the Cup Series driving for the Wood Brothers, and of course they get some help from the Penske folks as well. But just from what you've seen, and maybe if you've talked to him at all this season, what do you think about that young man and what he's been able to do for that Wood Brothers organization this year?
I'm a big proponent of Ryan Blaney. I think he's smart. He's got a great presence about him. And he can drive. I think, Dave, I think there's a potential for him to be a huge star in the sport. I really do.
Yeah, it seems like more when, not if, when he's going to get his first win in the Monster Energy Cup Series, because he has been doing a great job. Comes in today sixth in points. Of course, today's field set by points because qualifying was rained out. That means Kyle Larson is on the pole for today's race, Doug. And Kyle is off to a great start as well. Already got a win in his bank for this season to qualify him for the playoffs. What do you think's been the biggest key? Is it something that Chip Ganassi Racing has found? Do you think Kyle's maturing as a driver? Maybe all the seat time he gets in the Xfinity Series. What do you think has been the biggest factor for the 42 team?
Probably a mix of both things that you said there. I think he's growing up as a driver. He's maturing. He's figuring out, okay, I can't win the race in the first 20 laps, but I sure can lose it then. So I think he's made the move to that point. And Chip Ganassi's bringing better race cars to the track. They're bringing faster cars. I mean, all you got to do is look at his teammate and Jamie McMurray. He's running a lot better. And that's the key in this business. The thing that's changed dramatically over the years is the ability to add more speed once you get to the track. You pretty much have what you bring to the track now. I mean, the amount of leeway to make the car better is smaller than it used to be. So you better roll in with a good piece on your hauler when you get here.
When you look further down the point standings, Doug, you look at some of the guys that are right now out of a playoff spot. You look at names like Casey Kane, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Austin Dillon, Matt Kenseth, AJ Allmendinger. When you look down the standings, what's one of those names that kind of jumps out at you as a surprise on the lack of performance they've had here to start the season?
Matt Kenseth. I think Matt's a good driver, but Joe Gibbs is down a little bit this year. For whatever reason, they're not running at the same level. I mean, we're seven races in, they haven't won. They haven't really been close to winning.
Yeah.
And Kenseth is a very quality driver. That guy knows what he's doing. And so for him to be mired that far down, that's a little bit of a surprise on the negative for me. For Casey Kane, now he hadn't done anything for 2 years, so I'm not surprised he's down there, to be honest.
With the Gibbs performance, how much do you think it's the Camry, the new Camry body, is that a factor, or do you think maybe some of the other teams have kind of caught up to them after they've had such a breakout year last year?
Well, you know, everybody's always working on their stuff to get better. Nobody nobody plays a pat hand.
Of course.
And I do think that the new rules, the lower downforce package, has affected that team more dramatically than maybe any other team. And they've had a hard time of figuring it out and how to make it work as well as some of the other teams. I really think that's every time you make a big change like that, teams have to adapt. And they've had to adapt from a winning formula to a different formula, and they're not there yet.
Doug Rice joining us from the Performance Racing Network. We'll have the race courtesy of PRN today on WGR. Broadcast starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Doug, your home track there, the Charlotte Motor Speedway, they had some news this week that their playoff race in October is being moved to a Sunday afternoon race, which will put them on network TV on NBC. What did you make of that move? Was that a surprise, or were you hearing rumblings like that coming out of the Charlotte office leading up to the announcement?
I had heard people talking about this a little bit earlier since we're based there.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm fully for it. I just think I'm kind of old school. I think stock car racing, big time stock car racing, plays better in the daylight.
Mm.
I think for the fans that show up, it gives them more liberty to get home at a decent hour when the race is over. When you're ending races at 11:30 and midnight, it's hard for people to get home in any kind of fashion. And I think that the stock cars put on a better show in the daytime than they do at night. The track's not as tight. They're looser. They're out there. It's just better racing in the daylight, especially on these mile-and-a-half intermediate tracks like a Charlotte. So I'm all in favor of it. I think this is a great step in the right direction.
Do you think we should leave the Saturday night races for maybe just the All-Star race? And, of course, you're being at Bristol, the night race in August, and maybe the Coke 400 at Daytona. Should those maybe only be the night races on the NASCAR schedule, you think?
Well, I think if you've got a half dozen, that's plenty.
Yeah.
Everybody fell in love with the nighttime races after Charlotte put in the lights. Then all the other tracks started putting in lights. But what they found out was after a year or two of the drawing power of that fans were like, no, I really would like to get home the same day I see the event. and you can't do that with a night race unless you want to drive all night and get back home at 4 in the morning. And the action's just not as good. It's like I said, the cars, these cup cars like to race in the daylight because the track gets greasy, the cars get loose, it's a better show, there's more passing, and I think we've seen the high watermark for nighttime racing in NASCAR. I think you're going to get down to about a half dozen a year, and that's a good number. That keeps it to be something special. It got to where it wasn't anything special.
Doug, what can listeners here in WGR look forward to on your broadcast and on your pre-race show this afternoon?
Well, we take a lot of pride in talking to a lot of drivers. If they're still here, I did a tabulation last race that we did at Texas Motor Speedway. We interviewed 27 drivers in the pre-race show.
Wow!
Because all of these drivers have fans, and that's one of the things that we want to do. And we build in a lot of pre-recorded features that we find that are entertaining and try to be informative. And that pre-race show moves really quickly. That's over in about an hour, and then we go racing today. Frankly, I'm not real. I don't think we're going to race today.
Yeah.
I'll be really shocked if they race today.
Doug,
I'm
last thing,
weather man, but I can look at a radar when it's green from here to California. That's not saying a lot.
Yeah. Last thing before I let you go, Doug. I know you're a big music guy. You do a music show there on PRN. Yesterday was National Record Store Day. Did you get out after the Xfinity race there? Make any purchases?
I didn't get to a record store here. My sales manager did. He went and picked up a couple of picture discs and some things, and he immediately turned around and sold them on eBay. But, I did go up the road. There's a huge flea market here, and there's a couple of guys up there that are vendors, and I found a couple of gems up there, some things that I've been looking for that were in great condition. Tell you, when you're on the hunt for classic rock albums that are used, you're buying stuff that's 40 years old. A lot of people didn't really take such good care of them.
Sure.
You got to be careful.
Yeah, my dad, he's got a good collection of 45s that he took care of. What's your favorite record, real quick? Knee-jerk question here.
Allman Brothers Band, anything they do, Live at the Fillmore East, or maybe Eat a Peach. Those are two that I can listen to over and over and over again and never get tired of.
Well, Doug, unfortunately, it sounds like you might have some time to listen to that this afternoon.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time this morning. Have a great race day, whether it's today or tomorrow, and thanks for the time. We'll be listening here on WGR.
We appreciate your support. Thanks so much.
There is Doug Rice from the Performance Racing Network, and you'll hear more from him coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Regardless of the weather forecast, they'll at least jump on the air to say whether the race is on or not. As looks like on Twitter, looks like they might have a decision sometime between 12 and 12:30 today on whether they're going to try and get it in today or just fold up the tent and try again tomorrow. We get back, we'll continue our local racing season preview with Jen Martin from the Ransomville Speedway. Talk about what's going on at the dirt at the Big R. That's coming up next here on Fast Track on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan from my friends at Batavia Downs Gaming. You need to discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, as they have over 800 of the hottest and in-demand video gaming machines with lots of great new titles, and they're adding new ones all the time over there at Batavia Downs. And now, of course, you can make it a night to remember by visiting one of their great restaurants, or you can stay a night in their new hotel and, of course, wager on live harness racing at Batavia Downs also. April is Rainmaker Month at Batavia Downs Gaming. They'll put one person each Saturday into their Rainmaker Cash Cube to win cash and free play. They've had some great events this month, and for all of the great events at Batavia Downs throughout the month of April, check out their website, bataviadownsgaming.com. As I mentioned, great restaurants at Batavia Downs, one of those 34 Rush, that's Thurman Thomas's sports bar inside Batavia Downs. You go in there, grab a bite to eat, grab yourself a drink, sit down, check out all the HD TVs they have there. Plenty of sports on to watch, hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs, baseball, racing, of course, both horse and auto racing. You can catch it all there at 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is open daily, 8 a.m. until 4 a.m. off the thruway, exit number 48, right in Batavia. You can't miss it. For more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-date info on all promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track. 11:35 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. The IndyCar Series in action today as well. They'll do it rain or shine, and they've had some rain where they're at the Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama in the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. You can catch it on NBCSN. And Penske sweeping the top three spots in qualifying with Will Power, Elio Castroneves, and Simon Pagenaud. Your top three starters, Scott Dixon rolling off fourth, Ryan Hunter-Reay fifth, James Hinchcliffe sixth, Joseph Newgarden, Mikhail Aloshin, Max Chilton, and Tony Kanaan rounding out the top 10 starters there for the IndyCar folks. And again, the race going about 3 o'clock this afternoon for the Verizon IndyCar Series. What a... I was watching some of the practice on Friday, and that Barber Motorsports Park, what a fascinating, gorgeous-looking facility. And they were raving about it on the practice coverage from IndyCar Radio that I was catching on Friday, just raving about how neat of a place it is, too, and how well-kept it is. So it's kind of a weird, you know, weird spot for IndyCar. Alabama, you know, obviously you think Alabama, NASCAR, Talladega, but they have found a niche there, at least in that market, with a lot of IndyCar events, as they definitely get niche audiences in their markets where they race. And apparently that they have found some success there down in Alabama. Speaking of IndyCar, too, Fernando Alonso, this happened during the week leading up to Easter. Fernando Alonso announcing he's going to run the Indianapolis 500. Formula One driver is going to actually miss the Grand Prix of Monaco and race the Indianapolis 500. He and his McLaren team that he drives for in F1, they're teaming up with Andretti Autosport to field an Indy 500 entry. And Alonso is actually in Alabama today, getting acclimated to some of his teammates there at Andretti Autosport. So that was big news during last week. So I didn't get a chance to mention that either. Let's go to the AT&T hotline, though, and as we continue our local racing season preview, we bring in the new general manager of the Ransomville Speedway up in Niagara County. Jen Martin is on the line. Jen, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you for having me.
No problem. First off, congratulations. I know it's been a few months, but congratulations on the new gig, and just how has been your start to your new position there at the Ransomville Speedway?
Well, thank you very much. I'm so excited. It's been great. Everybody has been so welcoming to me, very helpful, you know, getting me acclimated into my new position, and there's just so much going on at the Speedway that's exciting, you know, along, you know, with me being in this position, there's so many other new awesome things going on at the Speedway, so.
Now, the season starts this Friday night, test and tune and practice on tap for this Friday night. And, of course, this is also year two of the track being owned by the Atwal family. And last season, they brought in some upgrades to the facility, most notably that big video screen in the infield. And they have been busy once again this offseason. Jen, I know a lot of work has been done to the concourse area.
Oh, my gosh. A brand new grandstand. Brand new concession stand. All the old buildings are gone, brand new concession stands, with some new food items as well this year. We will have funnel cake.
Ooh.
We'll have corn dogs. No more dollar bills. You can just go right to the window and get it. And then most notably is the new bathrooms, brand new bathrooms, diaper changing rooms in both of them, a handicap room in both of them, brand new hand dryers, everything. The bathrooms have been totally gutted and redone. It's just wonderful, and we thank, you know, all the businesses, the Kubinick family. We thank Parco Builders and everyone else that's been involved. So just thank you to everybody. It's great. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Fried dough and corn dogs. Jenna, I'm trying to lose weight. This does not help with me when I go to eat dinner on Fridays.
Well, we have to bring some more fun stuff in, even though people still, don't worry, the flat dogs are still going to be there, the Italian sausage, and of course, most notably, our French fries. None of that has changed. We're just adding some new items as well.
Well, it sounds like a great experience will be for the fans. And on track, looking at the schedule, there's a big, big, big addition to the 2017 Ransomville schedule, and that is the return of the Craftsman World of Outlaws. The greatest show on dirt returns to the big R for the first time in 20 years. Was that something kind of on the checklist of Parm Atwal when he took over the track to bring the Outlaws back to Ransomville?
Yes, that's been one of his musts, and he actually headed that all up and pretty much did that on his own. And of course, I've been there to assist along the way, but he kind of locked the deal. That's going to be Sunday, July 23rd, green flag of 7 p.m. The sportsman cars will be running with them, and we're just so excited to have the World of Outlaws back. Actually, anybody, you know, following or watching, there will be an announcement from Dirt pretty soon, of, you know, our corporate sponsorship that we did get with them. So that's going to be announced really soon. So, you know, watch for details on that. And we may even be opening up some more VIP seating because it's going so, so well.
And actually, you've had tickets on sale for that event, I think, going back to January, because if fans want to get in, they can buy their tickets now and lock down some reserve seating, correct?
That is absolutely correct. You've sold over 1,000 reserve seats so far.
How much inventory is left for the reserve seats, which are the top three rows of the grandstands? Is there any left?
Last count, there was about 40 reserve seats left.
Okay, so supplies are running out. What do you expect? I mean, it's going to be the World of Outlaws, as they call themselves, the greatest show on dirt. You know, sprint car racing in general just is a huge draw at Ransomville. What do you expect that day is going to be like for Ransomville Speedway?
It's going to be huge. I expect it to be standing room only between the pits and the grandstands. I mean, there's been so many people calling for months from all over, states away, countries away, you know, asking about camping and hotels. And, you know, it's going to be so huge for Ransomville Speedway, and we're so excited to have the World of Outlaws. We even have a couple local racers that are looking for rides. I know Ryan Soucy is one who is looking to compete with them guys, and that'll be nice to see some of our local guys racing with them guys this year. So we're just so excited to be partnering with Dirt and having this World of Outlaws show.
You mentioned Ryan Soucy, of course, the two-time defending modified track champion, and he's going to have some stout weekly competition once again in the modified ranks, Jen, and of course, Pete Bicknell, Chad Brockman is expected to be back on a weekly basis, and Eric Rudolph's got himself a new ride, too, to be back and run for another title.
That's correct. Scott Kerwin will be back as well. We have two rookies this year, Jesse Kotras and Steve Lewis, Jr. You got so many good guys in that class, and we have right now 19 modified signed up. So we're just so excited, and a couple more, hopefully lingering in to want to participate with us at Ranceville this year as well.
Another division that's getting a lot of rookie interest is the street stock division. You know, that division was kind of down for a couple of seasons, but it's got a core group of guys that love to continue to support it, and looks like there's going to be a handful of rookies joining that class this year as well.
Yeah, so far we have 5 rookies signed up, 20 street stocks overall signed up. And, I think that's going to be another very competitive, fun class to watch. Actually, the highest class of the amount of rookies is a sportsman. There are 25 guys signed up for the sportsman class and 8 rookies. All of our classes are up, 13 novice guys. We have 88 cars signed up overall so far. And I know a few guys reached out to me over the last few days about wanting to come up to see me this week and sign up for racing, too. So the numbers are only going to get bigger.
Jen, what else should we look forward to on the 2017 schedule? We mentioned the World of Outlaws show, but what are the other big dates fans should write down on their calendars?
Tuesday, August 8th is going to be our big block race with our Ranceville Fireman's Chicken Barbecue. Of course, we have the Patriot Sprints coming back on June 2nd and August 25th. New this year, we do have a car show. That's going to be a classic car show on Saturday, July 2nd. That's the day before the World of Outlaw race. And that Friday is actually our 60th anniversary this year, so we're going to have a 60th anniversary celebration. We're going to bring back all the past champions. Of course, our Investors Services King of the Hill weekend, September 15th and 16th. And then new, we're just adding in this year, is May 26th. We are doing a Veterans, Appreciation of Veterans Day. So any veterans will get in for free on May 26th with ID, of course.
And there are 2 WGR 550 nights on the schedule.
Oh, how could I? Of course, those. And we're excited to have you guys back as well.
That is June 16th and September 8th. Well, Jen, I'm excited. I can't wait to get back, be up in the booth with my pal Rick Mooney this Friday night and call some dirt racing action. Best of luck for this season, and we'll see you very soon.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you Friday. Have a great day.
All right. Jen Martin from the Ranceville Speedway. For more information, RancevilleSpeedway.com. They're on Facebook, too, and on Twitter, at Ranceville. And in case you missed it, again, about 40 reserve seats left. You can buy those online. Go to the Ranceville website and click the link they have to buy tickets, because the reserve seats are almost gone, and reserve seating and general admission are the same price, actually. So you might as well just get those reserve seats so you can sit in the top 3 rows of the grandstands instead of having to stake out some territory when you get to the track on July 23rd. Since it is local racing season, when we get back here in Fast Track, we'll close out the show with the return of the local racing roundup. We've got some race results to talk about, and we got time to take your phone call still, too. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Local race fans, if you had a chance to get to a track this weekend, I'd love to hear your thoughts on getting back to the races or what you're looking forward to on the local racing schedule here in 2017. Lots of great events upcoming this summer. We'll get back with that here when we wrap up Fast Track on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
Yes, the return of a show staple, the local racing roundup, and we did see some action yesterday. Lancaster National Speedway kicking off their 59th season of racing in the Sportsman. And John Barber was awarded the official win after Patrick Emmerling was disqualified in post-race tech inspection. A legal carburetor is what I was told. So Barber got credit for the win. Owen Bednaz picked up a career-best second-place finish. George Score rounded out the top 3. In the street stocks, Nick Welshins got a lucky break thanks to a lap car on the final lap, and he scored his first career Lancaster win in the street stocks. Jason Anishevitz got his first career win in the four cylinders. And Andy Nye picked up the win in the NYPA TQ Midgets. The other local racing action from last night, the Merrittville Speedway, they kicked off their season, and they had their big sprint and modified show like they always do to start the year. In the Sportsman, Paul Gabori picked up the win. Jason Barney got the win in the Patriot Sprint Tour event over Chris Steele, Corey Turner, Jake Brown, and Bobby Breen. I see Todd Hoddick back behind the wheel of a sports car. He finished 14th last night. Mod Lights' Josh Schleider picked up the win. And in the 358 modifieds, Tim Jones made a late race pass of Matt Williamson to score the opening day win at the Merrittville Speedway. Coming up this week, the Race of Champions Modified Series, they kick off their season this coming Saturday at Lancaster, 2 o'clock start. for the first race of the year for the Race of Champions Modified Series. The fans in the stands, 75 for the ROC Modifieds. So that'll be at 2 o'clock on Saturday at Lancaster. Also, as we said with when we were talking with Jen Martin, Ransomville kicks off their season this Friday night, too, with the time trials and practice to set the starting lineups for opening day at the Big R, which will be the following Friday. And I do my best to try and get results of tracks, whether it gets sent to me via email from PR people at the racetrack or if I can find it when I get here in the morning on Facebook or on the internet somewhere. But if you don't hear your favorite track mentioned, please feel free to either get to me on social media and I will look into it, or talk to your folks at your favorite track, see if they can get a hold of me as well, too, and we'll make sure they get their results on the air today. Still no word out of Bristol if the race is a go today or not. As again, possibly within the 12 o'clock hour, I'm assuming we'll have some kind of answer when PRN comes on the air at 1 o'clock today. Whether they're going to attempt to even try and get things in, or if it's going to be a no go for this afternoon. The folks at NHRA, they're also in action this weekend, too. They're down in Texas, the Houston area, Royal Purple Raceway for the Spring Nationals. Number one qualifiers in Top Fuel was Clay Milliken, Courtney Force in Nitro Funny Car, and Jed Coughlin was the number one qualifier in Pro Stock. And so they have eliminations this afternoon at the Royal Purple Raceway down, I believe that's near Houston, for the next event on the NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing series. Funny case of fake news in the racing world this week, too. Matt Kenseth was scheduled to make hold a press conference, or his team was to make an announcement this week at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and some fake news site or something had this story going out that he was going to retire and that Carl Edwards was going to take over the 20 car for the rest of the season, and that was quickly debunked by anybody and everybody. It was very obvious that it was a fake news story and not true, but that caused a little bit of controversy. And I know Matt had a clever comment for whoever created that story during the press conference. It turned out he was just announcing a new sponsorship they had with Circle K convenience stores. I think it was a 6-race deal. Great looking car, great looking paint scheme, by the way. As the 20 team, they've been kind of scrambling for sponsorship this year, trying to fill the void left by Dollar General, that was kind of one of their major sponsors on that car for the last couple of seasons. They pulled out after last season, so they've been trying to fill the holes left by Dollar General's sponsorship departure. I know they brought back Tide for a couple races this year, and they're just kind of looking to tighten things up on the 20 team. We were talking about Doug Rice, talking to Doug Rice about Charlotte Motor Speedway, too, when we had him on earlier this morning. If you didn't catch it, NASCAR announcing this week that they've moved the October race at Charlotte. The playoff race has been traditionally a Saturday night race that, you know, usually like the second weekend in October. That got moved to a Sunday afternoon race, which A, moves it off of NBCSN, puts it on NBC, but of course also moves it to a Sunday afternoon time slot, which puts it up head-to-head against the NFL games. But I think the folks in Charlotte looking more at ticket sales versus TV ratings with that move is more likely to draw more fans, I guess, and also you know, gets them a chance, though, to be on broadcast network television on NBC. And that, just the switch from NBCSN to NBC, even though it's a Sunday afternoon show against the NFL, that'll still probably help the ratings, either possibly with the NBC putting on the NBC network, much more accessible broadcast partner. But an interesting move by NASCAR, because not often do they make a schedule change like that in the middle of a season. You know, I can't say unprecedented, but outside of weather delays, you know, that is one of the few times I can remember where a NASCAR race date has been moved in season like that, moving it back a whole nother day. Do have breaking news. The NASCAR race has been postponed. That coming down just now on Twitter. So that will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow on Fox. So don't bother trying to watch today. because it won't be on. So you'll have to either call in sick to work tomorrow, or you know, get that Fox Sports Go app on your phone and watch the race at work tomorrow, because that's when the Food City 500 will be, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So unfortunately, sad news here to close out the program. Unfortunately, no NASCAR race today, but you got an NHRA and IndyCar to look forward to, so you still have some racing viewing options. We'll be back next week. NASCAR heads to Richmond, and more local racing to talk about as well, too. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on Fast Track on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.